Come back to your seat, otherwise I gotta pay Rosemary overtime for more music. I gotta pay overtime. Come on.
Yeah, zero.
And you know Dennis is tough. You don't like to do that. So amen. And I want to say this as we start. You know what? I hope that FBC is a place of refuge for us. When we come together, we hear God's word, we praise God, we see each other who are God's hands and feet, and they kind of lift us out of the challenges of our lives and give us hope again, right? So it's great to see everybody. If you take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start over there in a minute. But it's great to see everybody. By the way, happy birthday, Wesley. I see you there. Wesley, I said, he's not here. I see Jared there. I'm sorry. I did it wrong. Hey, Jared. Wish Wesley happy birthday anyway for us, right? And I see Esther there too, so we praise God for you. All right. Queen Esther. I mean, let me get that right, right? So let's just take a minute to settle ourselves down and open up God's word. Father God, thank you for your word today. I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us, Lord, right to our hearts as we deal with the issue, Lord, of serving, Lord. And it's such a great thing, but in the day that we live in, Lord, it's such a challenging thing. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we just thank you for all the good things, Lord, that you are doing in our midst. We thank you for our families. We ask that you would just watch over them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. We, probably hardly any of us, Lord, are unencumbered by issues or problems. I just pray, Lord, that you would just work in our midst now. Thank you for all that you do. Take away the distractions, Lord, for a few moments as we open up your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so you guys remember our series, Pursuing God? Well, we're still pursuing God, as Pastor Ansu said last week. And we're going to pursue him one more week into next week as we deal with another topic that's really relevant and important. But what we want to think about today is this issue, right? You know, we talked about pursuing God, and we read that book, right, by A.W. Tozer, which was really challenging. You had to read it two or three times to sort of get the gist of it sometimes. And we were pursuing God in our minds. And what God wants us to do then is really to pursue him with our whole body and sort of live out what it means to walk with God step by step. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about choosing to serve God with passion and faithfulness. So we're going to dive into that this morning and just think about that. And here's the challenge, right? Serving God sometimes, doesn't it seem hard? I want you to interact with me for a second. What makes serving God hard? Just yell it out. Time. Anybody feeling like, I wish I had a little more time in my life, right? So time is really hard, right? What else? What else? What makes it difficult? Yeah, to be like Christ, yeah, is hard. Because I'll kind of pick up what God's saying. You know, in our human flesh, sometimes I don't want to serve anybody but me. And that's true. We wrestle with that. What else makes it hard?
Family
makes it hard, right? Yeah. Tell me about why. Why is that hard? Amen. So it kind of comes back to time. So anybody feeling the difficulty in life? We're trying to do so many things. We all feel like jugglers, right? But a lot of times the whatever we're juggling is falling down on the ground sometimes, right? So be it family, our work responsibilities, all the different things that we wrestle with is really tough. And I say that. So here's the question. So why should I do it when it seems like sometimes no one else is but me? You know, we sometimes we feel like that. Well, or we say, well, someone else will do it. Not thinking that they're wrestling just like we are sometimes, right? So we want to kind of open up God's word this morning and just kind of deal with that issue. And remember, as we talk about this series, we always say this, right? It said, and by the way, this year has lived up to this idea. We cannot guarantee better situations in our lives. Can't guarantee that. But we must be better people. And better people pursue God, and they choose to serve him with passion and faithfulness. And I want to ask you guys, This is not a message to make you all feel guilty, because we all could, right? Pastors included, sometimes we're feeling like, you guys know what saran wrap feels like? You know, it's like really thin and you just keep stretching it. And that feels like our lives a lot of times, right? And we don't want to stretch it anymore sometimes. But today, what I want to do is try to think about how can we reorder our lives, work our schedules, modify our priorities, and just think about, let's just do what God said. Because God said if we do what he says, he's going to bless us. And I want to throw this out. Hopefully when you come to church, I hope most of you don't go away and go, oh, I wish I didn't get up this morning and go to church. Or when I serve in the ministry, you go, oh, you know, what a waste of time that was. Usually we come and we laugh, we encourage each other. Sometimes we cry together, but we say, you know what? It was good to be in the house of the Lord. Whether that was on, you know, Wednesday at the food pantry, or Friday night at Awana, or youth ministry, or, you know, some other thing that we did on a Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. We said, you know what? It was good to be together. And those people just lifted me up because God was, his spirit was working in them. And that's what we want to think about this morning. And I hope you guys feel like this. And it's our intention, Pastor Ansu and I and our team. We want church, as we gather, to be that place of refuge, where we can praise God, we can pray, we can cry, we can sing, and we can learn together how to be better people. And that's what we're going to focus on today. So I want to just jump in for a second, and you guys might say, "Ooh, this is a tough topic. Why serving God matters? Why does it matter to serve God?" And here's the first one you guys want to think about. And we don't think about this that much, right? The judgment seat of Christ. That's why it matters. And we'll talk about that. And the second thing is why it matters is our personal thanksgiving for what God has done for us, right? So we're going to kind of just dig in a little bit. Right after Easter, we're going to open up a series on studying and thinking about heaven. Because we're all going to be there one day, right? You know, it's a little bit like going on a trip, you know, with heaven. Half of the excitement about going somewhere is thinking about it in advance, right? Yeah, you're looking at, you know, it used to be brochures. Now you're looking online, but you're going, oh, I can't wait to do that. And that's how heaven ought to look for us, because we are going to get there as believers in Christ. And I want to encourage us, man, heaven is going to be awesome. And then we'll talk about all the things that are going to happen and what heaven is like. But let's talk about the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, write this in your notes today. Take out your notes if you could. The judgment seat of Christ happens in heaven. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. So let's just get a principle in mind. The reason why we should serve God is the judgment seat of Christ. And check out this passage. It just says, therefore, and by the way, he talked about the fact that we have a home in heaven made for us. You know, when we fold up our earthly tent in this passage, that we have a home for us in heaven that's eternal, not made with hands, made by God. And he says, therefore, we make it our aim. And I want to stop and think about it for a second today. You know, we have lots of goals in life and aims. And you know, I appreciate seeing some of our college students home, Sam, right? You know, we have aim. I know Sam has some really strong goals to be a medical doctor. And that's a big journey. That's a lot of things to do there, right? But he says, we make it our aim as believers, whether we're present or absent, meaning whether we're here on earth or we're not, to be what? Read it with me. Well-pleasing to him. So in other words, we want to please God, because when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you guys to get this in your mind, there's two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ for believers. The second, I wrote on the bottom, note, this is not the great white throne judgment found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And the great white throne judgment is really meant for unbelievers. And those people are going to be judged and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So I don't want a ticket for that. You don't want to be there, right? So as believers in Christ, we're not going there, but we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me ask the question. Who's going to be there? All. all doesn't leave anybody out in this case. It's a Greek word. It's called pan or pas, depending upon the tenses, and it has the idea of all, everybody. We're all going to be there before the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, that shouldn't necessarily make us fearful totally, but it should change how we live life. And it says that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And I want you guys to kind of understand this, get this in your mind. Good or bad means our works. What's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ is our works after we came to Christ. So here's a good thing. We'll continue on. That's the principle. So yes, just work with me real fast this morning. Who's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? And here's the way to say it. I like Mr. Boyer says this a lot. Who did Jesus die for? But he died for me. Right? So who's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? I am. You guys are. Right? We're all going to be there. Okay? And we can't blame, you know, I would have done that stuff, God, had it not been for so-and-so. No. It's going to be, you know, you and God in a perfect conversation. I'm not sure if it's going to be a big line or a big crowd, but there's going to be a judgment. And I just want to go backward real quick on the slide. I kind of picked this picture. I looked it up, and here's the idea. The judgment seat of Christ is called the Bema seat, B-E-M-A. It could be said Bema seat. But the idea of the Bema seat was that was this elevated place where in that day, like an athlete who had won the marathon would be lifted up and honored for his work or her work. And this is what the Lord wants to do with us as we, you know, as we stand before him, right? And then look what it says. Here's the process. Just think about this for a quick second this morning. It says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, and the Apostle Paul is saying this, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. In other words, he discipled all the people that followed him. And by the way, and he said, and another is going to build on that. And what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ, right, is to build each other what? Say it again. Up. Build each other up, right? We're supposed to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to get built up to be stronger, to be more like Christ, to be able to endure the challenges and the suffering of this age, right? So other people are going to build on the foundations that have been started by others. And there's a whole bunch of folk from First Baptist Church there in heaven now, but they started the building process, right? And he says, but let each one who continues the building, look what the word he says. Can you read it with me? What's that word say? Take heed, right? And the idea of taking heed, you can see it there, how he builds it all. Take heed is stop for a minute and think about what we're doing. And he says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So I want to stop for a second. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, What impression is lasting when I think about Christ, when I think about his service? Remember how Jesus suffered? Remember how, like, he said, I have come to do whose will? God's will. He wasn't swayed by, hey, Jesus, let's do this. Hey, Jesus, let's do this. He came to do God's will. He suffered and he served in a way that most of us really have a hard time achieving. We can strive for that, and that's the goal. So the foundation is we want to serve, and we want to grow into a servant who, like the foundation is, Christ. And then he says this, he says, now if anyone builds on the foundation, and he lists all kinds of materials, gold, that sounds like that'd be good to add on, right? Silver, that's pretty good. Precious stones, that's good. Wood, could be good. Hay, not too good. Straw, I don't think we want to add on with that, right? And look what he says. I want you guys to get this in your mind. So, by the way, let's go back. Who's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? Good job. Yeah, I am. Yeah, we all are, right? Everybody is, right? You know, sometimes you hear messages in church and you go, boy, I hope so-and-so heard that message. But today, I hope we all hear the message, right? It's about us, right? It's about me and I. And look what he says, notice in verse 13, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it says, each one's work will become clear. And again, notice how it's so individualized and personalized. Everybody's work is going to become clear to God, right? And it says the day will declare it because it will be revealed by what? Fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, here's the question. If you kind of built with what? Metal, you know, gold, silver, precious stones, it's going to hang in there. If you built with wood, hay, stubble, what happens when that hits the fire? You know, it heats up the room for a little while, but that's it, right? So he says it's going to become clear. So I want to just stop just quick for a quick second now and think about your service for a second and how might we categorize that. And I want to throw this out, by the way. God is not going to honor service that we did because we felt guilty. God is not going to honor service that we did because we wanted to look good doing it. God is not going to honor service that we did because we did it to be seen. God's not going to honor service that we did with a bad motivation. How many times, by the way, everybody look up for a quick sec, right? You ever serve, this happens a lot when you work with students sometimes. You know, maybe you came to church, you had a rough day at work, and then you get to work with the students. And you just get mad, right? Wood, hay, stubble. And I want to throw this out. I think about this a lot. As we serve God, sometimes we just have to say, you know what? I'm going to keep my hand on the wheel, even though I'm not feeling so good about this right now. Because service isn't always like fun. You know, you don't always like, you know, hey, we're going to serve God. Oh, I can't wait. We don't live life like that, right? You know, sometimes we feel like guilty. We feel like we ought to. We feel like we should. But in our deep part of our heart, we want to be anywhere but there, right? But that's the challenge, right? So he says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive what? A reward. And think about this for a second. You know, we're all looking, you know that verse in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, when we get before the Lord, he says what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Anybody want to hear that? Yes. Amen, right? That's what we want to hear, right? So he says, we're going to receive a reward. And those rewards, you know, might be crowns, as the Bible talks about it, that maybe we'll cast before the feet of Jesus when we see him, when we actually see him face to face. But he says, if anyone's work is burned, he's going to suffer a loss. Now, everybody look up. I want to be real clear about this loss. Everybody look up. This does not mean you will lose your salvation. It means you will lose your reward. Everybody got that? Great white throne, that's when we're cast into hell because we didn't know Jesus. That's the number one thing. Our works glorify God. Our works don't get us to heaven. We can lose rewards, but we can't lose our standing before God as believers. Isn't that great, by the way? So even though we kind of mess this up all the time, God's got us, and we're going to be in heaven anyway, right? And that's the most beautiful thing. And he says this. He says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. And I want us to understand this, right? Everybody look up. Write down these two words on your paper. Eternal security. Even if I mess up living life, I am secure in Jesus because his death, burial, and resurrection was enough to save me to the uttermost. Right? So we got to understand that part. So my purpose today is not to scare you. If you don't serve God, you're going to go to hell because that wouldn't be true. My purpose is to scare you to serve God because that's what he wants you to do. And he's going to bless you. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. A lot of times when we serve God, especially when we serve God collectively, you know, as a team, it becomes such a blessing. Because we experience that fellowship, that oneness, that unity of doing something together for God. And we talk about it and we laugh and we encourage each other. That's what God wants service to look like. Will there be hard times in the midst of service? Absolutely. It will not be one constant laugh after another. But it will be a blessing in the short and the long term, right? And God wants us to understand that. So the judgment seat of Christ. So everybody get in our minds. Everybody look up. Help me, right? Who's going to be at the judgment seat? Yep. Oh, I thought she said you are. But we all are. I am, you are, we all are, right? We're all there, right? So we got to understand that. So that's one of the reasons we serve, because we want to get rewards that we can then use to really cast at Jesus' feet. We don't want to be there and be rewardless before the throne, right? But here's the second reason we give, and I want to kind of process this for a second. We give because we are personally thankful. I want you to stop for a minute. Just stop. By the way, a lot of times we don't sit down and think long enough. But just stop for a minute. Where would you be today without Jesus? Where would you be? Right? I love it. You know, George Peterson used to sing that song. Were it not for grace, where would I be? Where would I be, right? And I want you to check this out. I'm just going to get a couple verses quickly this morning. But here's a passage to think about. Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, it says this. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And this passage, by the way, I want y'all to take your Bible. I read this. I don't try to put 1,000 verses on the screen. Sometimes you guys say, it seems like you put 999 sometimes. And I do. But I want you guys to turn to Psalm 116 for a second. And this is kind of the end of that passage. He says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. But it's not going to be on the screen, by the way, folks. But just go to Psalm 116 for a second and look at verse 12. When I read this, I was like, wow, this is pretty good. But can we read verse 12 out loud? Raise your hand if you're there. Go on verse 12. Pretty much we're there, right? Look, listen to what he says. Let's read it together. He says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Isn't that a great question? Like, in other words, our life, as we live our life, we're saying, what can I give back to the Lord for all that he has given me as benefits, right? Sounds a little bit like Psalm 103, right? He says, and forget not all of his benefits. And I want to stop. You know, we should want to serve God in our heart. And by the way, this is what I'm trying to cultivate. You know, like when you have a garden, you got to get the weeds out so the things that you want to grow, grow. You know, and that's always a struggle, right? You know, the weeds, it can be too dry, it can be too hot, it can be too wet, but the weeds grow really good. But the plants you put in don't. And what God wants to cultivate in us is this thankful heart. And as the outflowing of that thankful heart, we just want to give back to God. And that's what we're trying to cultivate this morning a little bit. And look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It kind of helps us with this. He says, and we don't use this word, but I kind of translate. He says, I beseech or I beg you, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And look at that last line, which is your reasonable service. Based on all that God has done for us, I want to give back to him everything I can. Makes sense, right? So why do we serve God? The judgment seat of Christ. Why else? Personal thanksgiving. Because where would we be without him, right? So here's a couple questions. Tune in with me, right? Here's the deal. Here's the question. What do you think the judgment seat of Christ will be like for you right now? You know, how much gold, silver, and precious stones have you cultivated? Or how much of our service has been wood, hay, and stubble? Think about that. And by the way, everybody look up. I got good news. We're all still alive. Everybody here is good, right? You're good, right? Everybody's alive. Okay? We're all alive, and we're all looking forward. So we can still really serve God and have works that are going to bring him glory, and they're going to bring us rewards. Right? So that's a good thing, right? And here's the question, though. Now that you guys know that, you might have known it before, but we kind of don't, you know, a lot of us don't like to think about death, heaven, hell, you know, those eternal things. There's a book we used to give out. It was called Ultimate Questions. Sometimes we want to stay away from those ultimate questions and just focus on today, right? But here's the thing. What would you change about your service knowing these things? What would you do today? And by the way, raise your hand. Let's be honest, right? Anybody feel too busy? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Pastor Gary, I don't have any more time. I don't want to do anything else. Please don't put no more guilt on me today. And don't bring Pastor Ansu back next week to help. Right? Right? Anybody there? Yeah, if your life feels like it's crazy, right? Anybody have a crazy life? Right? Yeah, amen, right? It's crazy. But here's the question. So what should I change knowing these things? What should I change? And you probably said, I know what I should change, but I'm not quite sure how to make it happen. We're going to talk about that in a second, okay? And here's another question was, does service become more of a priority knowing this now? And the answer is, it probably should. But we're sort of caught in the rat race of life, right? We all are caught in that a lot. So here's the funny thing. What does the Bible say about service and discipleship? So let's kind of dig into that just for a moment today. So I want you guys to understand this. And by the way, are the disciples, are they like the dream team of Christ followers or what? Answer that question. Which one? I think it's or what. Yeah, I think it's or what, right? Because imagine this, right? James and John, and by the way, these are inner circle guys. These aren't just the casual, you know, followers that were 100 steps behind Jesus. These guys are the close ones, right? And look what they said. They said, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus, saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. I mean, that might be kind of cool to be a close follower of Christ. You're walking with Jesus. You know, hey, Jesus, I know you killed that fig tree. Can you do this for me? You know, like Jesus had all that power to do stuff, right? And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you now? And listen to their answer. They said to him, grant us that we might sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Think about that, right? And by the way, maybe those guys were there, part of the inner circle. They probably hung out with Jesus kind of like that on earth at that moment, right? So they're saying, hey, you know, Jesus, you know, we cool, right? You know, like we do here, get me on the right and the other one on the left. And by the way, what does that say? Isn't that kind of selfish? Isn't that kind of prideful? By the way, in church, if someone you ran into in church said that, what would you say? I said, man, you're selfish. What's wrong with you? Right? So, He said this, he said, grant us that we might sit there on your right hand, on your left. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And guess what they said? This is the pride coming out. Of course! Come on, Jesus, who do you think you're talking to? Right? And by the way, the cup and the baptism were the crucifixion and the suffering. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got you, Jesus, sure. And remember, their friend Peter, he said all that too. And then what? He denied Jesus, you know, and he disappeared from the scene for a while, right? So these guys are kind of in the same boat. And they said, yeah, of course we're able. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink and the baptism I am baptized with and will be baptized, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it's for those to whom it is prepared. Yeah, and isn't that kind of us? And I say that to say this, you know what? Isn't that kind of like, we want the high seat, we want the best seat, we want the most soft job, we want the nicest job, the most famous job when we serve God, right? And that's what these guys were doing, just like us. And look what happened, by the way. Remember I mentioned, well, what would you guys think? It says, and when the other 10 heard it, and the Bible wrote it real nice, they began to be greatly displeased. I think if we were to read that, like, in honest, it's that they're probably pretty hot. They're pretty mad. Can you believe those two? And they're the ones who are closer to Jesus than me. Can you believe these guys, right? But it says, but Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their greater ones exercise authority over them. So everybody look up for a second. On your job, when you are greater, what do you get to do? More work. Yeah, no, yeah. This was before the capitalism came on the scene, right? But yeah, more work. But when you're the boss, what do you get to do? Tell everybody else what to do, right? Now, isn't that a fun job? Actually, it's not that fun. It can be, but it's not all that fun being a manager all the time. But he says, those people who are the bosses, those who are the high people, what do? They kind of lord over everyone else. You know what? When the plumbing's messed up, you don't see them there. I'll share a story. I was at a facility with someone, and it was really fun. By the way, aren't you glad the snow is finally melting? Finally, right? It's unbelievable. It's been there forever. But we went to a facility, right? And you could not find a place to park because no one shoveled things out. You know, they did the snow plow around in a big circle, and you couldn't park your car in the facility. And then this guy, the building manager, I'll share a story. So I go to this facility. I was visiting somebody there. And one of the people who was trying to park their car got stuck in the snow. So all these other people are trying to help them get out, which was kind of like a grassroots good thing, right? People are getting wood, you know, cardboard, let's push, let's rock the car, let's do all these things, right? But the guy who's in charge of the building place comes down and basically says, you all got to get out of here, you got to get out of here. And I literally said to them, can't you shovel out these spaces so we don't have this problem? And he said, I'm not shoveling it out. I was like, well, get me a shovel and I will. You know, it's like, come on. Like, what is going on here, right? That's what we're talking about. You know, at church, get somebody else to do it. It's too dirty. It's too messy. You know, I'm a deacon. And I'm not picking on deacons, by the way. Right? Or you know, you could say, I'll bring it back. By the way, I love the deacons. We are such a wonderful family until today. But or we could say, no, I'm a pastor, you know. I handle the word. You know, not the plunger or not, you know, the shovel or the rake or whatever, right? But we got to kind of be willing to be servants, right? And that's the idea, right? And that's what he says. He said, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your what? Servant, right? So the Lord takes what we think is right, turns it upside down on his head, and says, no, what is really the biblical heavenly approach to life is the great people serve. And that's what I want us to understand. Real greatness is defined by what? Service. The people that we're going to remember when they leave this world are going to be people who served well, not the people who got served well. Does that make sense? Service defines who we are, and that's such an important thing, right? And then here's the next thing I want to share with you guys. Discipleship is learning and doing what Jesus said and did. And what Jesus said and did is serve. And he never said, and we'll come to this verse in a minute, he never said, you know what, I'm God, you guys do it. He didn't say that. And look what he just said. He said, and in 1 John it says this passage, he who says he abides in him, who says he abides or walks with Jesus, ought himself to walk just as he walked. And Jesus walked how? Like a servant. Like a servant he walked. And it says, for you brethren have been called to liberty, only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You know what? Everybody look up. Isn't it cool, the freedom that we have in Christ? It's awesome, the freedom we have in Christ, right? But he says, don't use that freedom that God's given you as an opportunity to kind of become a fat cat and not do anything. But he says, use that freedom to serve one another, but in love. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? Good neighbors, you know what they do? They serve each other. I'll ask this question. How many folk enjoyed all the snow this winter? Wow, nobody. Here's the funny thing. Aren't you glad some of you guys, anybody have some good neighbors who had a blower, had a shovel, had a heart and said, I'm going to help you? Weren't you glad for those folks? Maybe they got your car. I've seen some of those cars, right? I see you guys like living in the city. You know, the snow plow goes by and just like, you know, the snow next to your car is like 3 foot high. Aren't you glad that there's people in your neighborhood who say, wow, let me help that person out? That's what we're talking about, right? Because when we love our neighbors, we serve them, right? And that's what God's looking for in us. So here's a question, right? How do I serve like Jesus? I live in the rat race. My life is crazy. I'm already stressed out. How do I serve like Jesus, right? And I'm going to throw this out. The issue is our minds. And even the craziness of our life is our minds. It's not just I'm busy with my hands and my feet, but sometimes my mind is just so occupied with stress and all this stuff, and it needs to be more occupied, you know, with spiritual principles that are going to drive my life, right? So I want to take us to Philippians chapter 2. And look what he says there. He says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, and Pastor Anstey read this so good, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by me, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And by the way, that idea that is, that's the body of Christ. We have one goal. We have one mind. And everybody write this down. You know what that one mind is? The mind of Jesus Christ. And we have to keep restoring that because my mind keeps taking over and so does yours. But we got to have that one mind. And then I want to just stop for a minute and think about this. When we struggle to serve in our minds and with our hands and our feet, this is usually one of the issues. And I want you to look at verse 3 with me. Look what he says. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And I want to throw this out. Sometimes we are so busy because the only thing we can think about is what we feel like we want to and need to do. And our mind is not thinking about the other person at all. Right? And he continues, he says, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem others better than himself. And I want to stop and think about that for a second. In other words, if my mind, right, is more about other people and I'm thinking about them, because, you know, think about this in a snowstorm, right? We do this kind of math. We go, man, there's a lot of snow by their car. And then sometimes we say, hey, they got a teenage son. Let him do it. Isn't that true? Do we do that? We do, right? And we don't know what his deal is. And I remember my neighbor across the street, he's an older guy. He used to plow us out when we first moved in. And now he's kind of old, losing his eyesight. And he had a knee replacement. He's just not good in his feet. And he wants to be out there. So a few of our neighbors kind of got together. Let's go shovel this guy out, right? So we're shoveling him out and blowing him out. And then his son-in-law came over. And he said, I have a teenage son. Everybody's kind of like, where's he at? You know? And he got, you know how we do the math, right? But here's the deal. He was really sick. So he couldn't do it. So for that guy to get shoveled out, it took all of us to say, hey, we can do it. It's okay. We understand. Because we all have had teenage sons and who've been sick or lazy or whatever, right? But sometimes we just got to demonstrate what's what and do it, right? And that's kind of what he's saying. He said, don't think about your selfish ambition or your conceit, what you would do or how your life is, but just go do it. He says, in lowliness of mind, let's esteem others better than himself. And let each of us look not only on our own interests, but on the interests of others. And one of our challenges of serving God sometimes is I can only think about my stress, my schedule, my family, my life, my, me. And the challenge is sometimes we got to get out of that and look outside, right? Look outside. And I want to encourage us that that's where God wants us to go with that. And I'll tell you this, I praise God for a lot of our ladies in our church who I know your life is crazy. I know you're in the rat race, but you still serve anyway. I praise God for you guys. And I share this with my wife and someone else too. I said, you know, as we watch them, you know, my daughter has two kids, and we're always going, wow, like she's, you know, always trying to do 1,000 things, you know, in the time to do 10, you know. And as a father now, I look back and I go, man, she's really busy. Let's go help her. And then I think back to being the husband of my wife when I was the one who was running around, going to school, being here, being everywhere, and no one came and helped Jane, right? And I go, wow. Like, I kind of understand it a little bit better now. And I hope that as we grow, we can understand it a little bit better. You're probably saying, where's Jane today? It's her birthday week. She's home at my house. Sarah's there. Levi's there. They both have strep. Brendan's working all weekend. And the baby's there too. So Jane's like, we got to help Sarah because I'm not sure how she's going to do all these things. Sarah has strep too, so she's feeling awful, right? And it almost like embarrasses me sometimes as a dad because yesterday I'm thinking about, yeah, we should do that. But I'm going like, but tomorrow's Sunday. And I want to go do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. And, you know, I praise God. Sometimes God puts people in our lives that really show us what service looks like and what sacrifice looks like. And sometimes as men, right, we're some hard-headed people, ain't we, guys? Yeah, we're stuck. And I just want to encourage us, right? Like, this is what God wants us to be, though, is to be that kind of servant, right? So I'm going to take us down, and then we got to wrap it up, right? Notice what Jesus said, and Paul recorded this in Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. And here's the thought. What is he saying there? That's a funny phrase. He said, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. Here's what he's trying to say. Jesus, when he came to earth to do what God called him to do, which was to die on the cross for our sins and disciple the disciples to follow him, when he came to earth, he didn't have to cling to the fact that he was God so we wouldn't get his hands dirty. He was willing to do whatever it took. Remember some things that Jesus did, which were out of the box? Jesus touched the leper. He touched the leper. No one in that day, you know what happened with the leper? They would say, you go on the other side of the street and you cry out that you're a leper, so there's no chance that we get near you and contract that awful disease. Jesus touched the leper. Isn't that some different thinking than mine and yours? Right? That's what he's talking about, right? So he said he didn't let the fact that he was God get in the way of serving people the way God really serves. And that's an amazing thought there, right? And then it says, and being found in the appearance of as a man, and Jesus, think about this for a second too. Everybody look up. Just for a second, say, if you were God, just imagine you're God. Don't get too crazy, but imagine you're God, right? Would you come to earth and leave the throne room of heaven to deal with people like us? And we're sort of some of the better ones, right? Can you imagine? Think about this. This is what the Lord did, right? Like, he literally left the throne room of heaven where the angels are at his beck and call to serve him, to praise him, to worship him. And he came down to earth where his own people, the Jewish people, rejected him. And the Gentiles had already rejected him long ago. They rejected his father. That's what he's talking about, right? It says he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Yeah. Amen, right? So, man, when I think about myself, as I'm so thankful for what the Lord did for me, there's sort of no parameters or boundaries where I can't. God gives us gifts. We ought to serve with our gifts, and that's a whole other message. But man, I just need to have that kind of spirit in my heart, no matter how busy or crazy my life is, right? And I want to just take us down to a couple of questions. Do you think and say that you're a disciple? How many people say you're a disciple? Yeah, we do. Yeah, some people like wear t-shirts, you know, disciple, you know, right? Or in the old days, nobody does this anymore. Remember bumper stickers? Remember bumper stickers? It was like, honk if you love Jesus, you know. And, you know, sometimes people, they're the ones who are like yelling at you out the window, why did you turn without your signal on or something, right? But anyway, do you do what Jesus did as a servant? And this is like a hard question. I'm going to be honest. The answer is probably not all the time or maybe not a lot of times. I don't do that. And then here's a funny one. By the way, this is not me doing this today, but do people have to tell you to be a servant? Think about that for a second. You think about that as a parent, right? You try to teach your kid. You ought to be a servant. Does that really help? not really, right? I mean, I hope they might know, but I mean, in their heart, they don't want to do it still, right? So those are some really good questions to kind of process, right? You know, we say we're a disciple. We don't really do what Jesus did, and sometimes people have to tell us to get up and serve. Mm. And by the way, here's the good news. We're all still alive, right? We can still change. And that's what God wants to bring about in us, right? Is that idea. And then I'm going to leave us to just this last thought. I'm going to cut it real fast. What does my life say about service? So what does your life say about service? About really following Christ and being like him, right? And I'm just going to look at this one passage and we'll skip down. Remember the book of James chapter 2? Famous passage, right? And it says this, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can faith save him? And by the way, it doesn't mean for salvation's sake. In the sense, exactly, right? But here's what he's saying is, Faith without what? Works is what? Dead. Is dead. In other words, we can say we got all this faith. We can say we love Jesus. We can say we're his disciples. We can say all those things. But if there's really no outward activity that demonstrates that, our faith is definitely in question. Or our growth is definitely in question, right? And he says that. He says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Think about that for a second. Does it help? You know. Hey, I know you're hungry. What did Marie Antoinette say? Let them eat cake. Did that fix the problem? No. Like if they're hungry, what we got to do? We got to give them something to eat. Right? And if they have a need, we got to serve them. Otherwise, our faith is like it's dead. And again, we can be saved. Remember this idea about works we started with? We can be saved, and we're not going to lose our salvation. But man, we're going to miss out on so many opportunities to bless people and glorify God and to be blessed ourselves. Amen? Amen. So we got to be servants, right? We got to serve. And I'm going to skip on down. And by the way, the rest of the passage just keeps illustrating that same point so much. But the last verse is great. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we got to serve, right? We got to be servants. So I'm going to leave you with a couple things before we go. If faith without works is dead, what does my faith look like? I know that's hard. You look in the mirror. You know, as you get older, you're like, dag, where did my hair go? And why is it so gray, the couple that are left? You know, like it's hard sometimes to look at stuff and we go, wow, what happened? And this is one of those things. But if we have no service or no works, our faith's not looking too healthy. And I want to challenge us, what needs to change with my serve, the way I serve? What needs to change with that? And I want to come down. Remember I said to you guys, raise your hand if you're one of the rat race people. Raise your hand. I'm in the rat race, Pastor Gary. Don't guilt me up. Amen. I'm not trying to guilt you up. But here's a thought I want to throw out to us. How can I reorder my life to be available to serve? And that's really the challenge today. My challenge is not to hit you over the head and say, you better serve, you know, and you're trying to serve, and then your wife and your kids are screaming at you. That's not going to fix the problem. You know, or you get fired from your job because you're trying to serve at church. That's not going to fix the problem. But what's going to fix the problem is, how can we as believers take a moment in our lives today, tomorrow, and say, how can I reorder things so that I can serve God? And by the way, we don't want you here 7 days a week. You know, we get it. But how can your gifts fit into what God is doing here? How can your gifts fit into what God is doing in your family? How can God's gifts fit into what is going on with you and your husband or wife, so that you can really serve them to the glory of God and build them up? And that's what I want to challenge us with. We all in the rat race. So how can we figure out how to live this life in a way that service to God takes the priority that it ought to? So when I stand at the judgment seat, not wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Right? Amen? And I want to challenge you guys. I'm not going to go through much of it today, but read and meditate on Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you guys are my disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And you know what? As a culture, as the Western culture, which, by the way, is infecting the rest of the world, no one wants to deny themselves anything. Right? And even in the church, we're afraid to deny ourselves. But God, Jesus said that's the way to walk and be like him. I just want to challenge you guys to think about, how does that play out? How do we prioritize? How do we reorder? Not that it's out. It's not a quick answer for us today, but it's something as we read God's word and we pray, I think God's going to make it clear in all of our lives what we need to do. Amen? So we're going to close. And we're going to close. We're not going to do praise team today because it's late. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, dear God. Father, your word just speaks volumes. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it reveals, Lord, exactly what we all need to do. Father, we don't want to come before you today as guilty people, but we want to come before you today as your children. And we are asking, dear God, that you would show us how to reorder life so that we can really be good servants, Lord, in our families, outside of our families, in our church, wherever we are. I pray, dear God, that we would not need to be told to serve, but it would just become a natural outgrowth of who we are in Jesus. Father, work in our hearts, work in our minds. I thank you for everything that you're doing today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work in us. Father, we want this to be true. But Lord, it's just such a hard thing to do to change sometimes. And our lives are so full of stress and chaos. And I just pray, dear God, that you would help us look through that, through the lens of your word. And dear God, change what needs to change. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. And before you guys run out, real fast. We gave the praise team a little time off today so we can de-stress them, right? Just for a sec. No, I'm only kidding. But here's the thought. In the coming weeks, Pastor Ansu and I and our board, we're going to have like a little calendar on the board every week for opportunities to serve. So when you come in on Sunday, you're going to go, oh, I could do that 20 minutes that one day. Like maybe say, set up the gym, do this, do that. We're going to try to, again, think through how we can organize our lives so that we all can serve each other and we all can have more joy in Christ in our relationship with God, right? Makes sense, right? Kind of think, right? So you guys have a great day. We have a leaders meeting. We have Bible quizzing, and we have a parent meeting if anyone's in our new members class. And Rosemary, can you give us a little order your steps on the way out so we can get out of here? And we want to say thank you to you all. Have a great afternoon, all right?